We're back. Most entertaining Iowa podcast in the market. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We are on the heels of the Michigan State game. It's a win. Iowa 4-1. Best they could be for their current situation, but we're going to ride an emotional roller coaster this year. We have a feeling that every single game is going to look like Saturday. They're going to be close. The offense is going to struggle. We're going to need a lot more of Coop. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Watch the Walk-Ons podcast.
Ooh, that's a vibe setter right there. That is a vibe setter. Welcome in. We're here. We may continue the trend of short recaps. I don't know. We'll see. We record these on Sunday nights. There's NFL football going on. Games with a lot more offensive production than the ones we'll probably be recapping on a weekly basis. So here we are. Kev, you look good, though.
Oh, thanks, guys.
You wearing a bro tank?
I am wearing a tank. Yeah, so I it's still 90 degrees here in Iowa, so I decided to take a nice long bike ride today. I just got home, got out of the shower, feeling a little toasty still, so went with the bro tank.
What's a long bike ride?
It was 18 miles or so.
Okay. This took about an hour.
Just over an hour. Yeah. Wind was a little tough today. Pretty flat ride, but pretty tough on the wind today.
How about it being 90 degrees?
Didn't love it, man.
No.
Didn't love it. Especially yesterday. It's a long day in the heat.
My youngest brother was back home from Kansas City. So this weekend. So this morning, yesterday we got together for my birthday, my family. And then this morning we woke up and early we went and disc golfed. And it was super nice, like 65 degrees, great morning. Come back home, hang out, middle of the day. Lauren like looks at her watch. She goes, dude, she's like, it's 90 degrees. And I was like, what? Like, what the fuck are we doing? It's October 1st. It's hoodie season.
Should be.
90 degrees, man. Grant, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing all right. Finally, we conquered the what felt like impossible feat of the Broncos winning a game today. So,
do you feel like as a Broncos,
you don't get to play the Bears every week?
But. I was just gonna say, do you feel like as a Broncos fan, this could be the only week, considering it took a historic comeback against the other worst team in the league? Like maybe
I did. It was one of those weird games where like I was like, I know we won, but like I didn't forget what happened in the first half. Like that was sure. That was abysmal. I think we have more wins under our belt. I think it's possible. Like we got the Jets next week. I think there's possibility for wins out there.
Okay. And Drake showed up again. Drake, we're glad you're here.
I was surprised by that.
It's
Drake's changing the narrative. All right, Drake's the underdog here. He's showing up every week.
Drake, you'd be surprised at how many people we got. And this is actually something I wanted to start with. Not just on the Drake front, but we did get a few Drake specific messages like, hey, I really appreciate and enjoy Drake showing up. It like several people messaging us saying they understand that it can be like they are empathizing with us in our position. It could be hard to get on the microphone and talk and have fun doing this. This thing is for fun in the end. And people are like, hey, we appreciate you getting on the
microphone.
Watching
Iowa football is not fun.
And we'll get to that.
Fall eventually let you guys down. So sorry in advance for that, but, I'm here for you.
It's good that you're under promising. And then every time you do show up, we over deliver. So, we'll get to the game here in a second. Anything else I wanted to mention? Oh, I just wanted to say, and we bring him up every now and again, but I just watched Christian McCaffrey just absolutely dominate the Cardinals. He almost had five touchdowns. He could have had five if they would have handed it off to him at, there at the end. They let Purdy sneak it in. I'm just glad to see him do it against professionals, what he did to us. It makes me feel better.
8 years later, too. Yeah.
8 years later, and he's still doing it. He gets beat up, too. And the guy just, he's like a robot. So good for them. 49ers.
I was just thinking, actually, just this weekend, how good Stanford was for a couple of years there.
Unreal. And
they're just really bad.
Yeah. They're like a bottom five, power five program.
But, I forget what the stretch was, but it's like,
from like
they had a good, I feel like, 5 to 8 year stretch where they're consistently ranked, and like a few years there, they were like a top 10 team. Like I feel like 3 years in a row.
Yeah, Grant, find me their records from like 2012 to 2017, 2016. Just find me the record for like the last 20 years. Yeah, you're right, Kev. It's kind of weird. They have
but we kind of talked about like what it took to be a blue blood last episode, and that's one of those things. Like, they have pretty tough academic standards, and even if we're athletes, I think it's kind of hard for them to allow people to get in. That would be something that'd be extremely tough to sustain for a long period of time.
Yeah, when you've got academic standards like Northwest, Northwestern runs into the same issue, right? So they've been cheeks for the last 5 years.
But yeah, you look at it, okay, was that 2010, 12-1, 2011, 11-2, 2012, 12-2, then 11-3, off year go 8-5, then 12-2, that's the year they beat us, then 10-3,
9-5, 9-4.
9-5, 9-4, then they've fallen off since 2019, but you know, they had a really good stretch there.
Fuck yeah, they did. I mean, they had 6 years. 6 years. Their down year was 8-5, but they had a 7 year stretch where they were winning
double digit football games.
They were winning double digit games.
That's just really damn impressive.
It is. Two teams that aren't going to win double digit football games this year: Iowa and Michigan State.
Probably not. Still possible. We'll see.
Possible.
Not gonna write them off quite yet, but
the math is there.
I will say this: somehow, we might be favored to win 10 games this year.
Probably not. We are favored to win this next game.
What's the line early here?
3.5.
Wow, that's well. And interesting enough, maybe this will take us into our little betting recap here. Purdue made me look like a total asshole.
Same.
Because I thought Purdue was cheeks, right? They go out.
Turns out Illinois is cheeks.
Illinois, how is Illinois so bad?
They're supposed to have a good defense still this year. They had a really good defensive line. They gave up 44 to Purdue.
Torched.
Yeah, I took the under in that game at 54. I'm like, well, I'm an asshole too, I guess.
It was a pick'em. I took Illinois. I was like, I think Burt and the boys will go in and get it. Illinois, evidently horrible. So I went 1-2. The Iowa game went over by the legs of the kickers, and great game for punters, kicker. Great game for specialists yesterday, by the way.
It was a great specialist game.
And I had Illinois to beat Purdue. My one game that did hit was, Grant, remind me, what did I have?
It was Texas.
Yes.
So they had Kansas's QB last minute scratch before the game.
Oh, was that what happened?
Yeah.
And they were still in it for a little bit.
Yeah, no, like halftime, very close.
It's like 10-7 late in the second quarter, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the play that Kansas scored on?
No.
Oh, it was kind of a wild play. It was an option. They ran like a speed option or something like that.
Okay.
And the guy's like 20 yards downfield, and the guy he was optioning to is still behind him, but he's trying to find someone to block. There's no one to block, but he's still running behind him. Quarterback gets smoked pretty good. Ball squirts out right in the guy's hands behind him, and he runs another 20 yards for a touchdown. It's pretty sweet.
What the fuck?
But that's like one of those plays when you're playing defenses. It's like, well, that's just unlucky.
Yeah, there was a few wild things that happened yesterday. In the betting world, I made a decent amount of money on a Penn State in-game line, which I felt was the easiest bet I've ever made in my life. Penn State was struggling with Northwestern early, and the line jumped down to, there was an alternate line of like minus 10 and a half in the second quarter when they went down 10-3.
End game. Yeah.
Yeah. And I jumped on that. They ended up actually covering.
Yeah. They ended up covering the pregame spread.
The real line, which Kevin was, which was one of Kevin's bets.
No business covering. I just had a bad weekend, man.
So I threw a quick 50 down on Penn State minus 10 and a half in the middle of the game, and ended up, it paid like 125.
If you actually want to be like a good bettor, is you get a feel for football teams and football games and you bet in game lines. That's like probably the most profitable way to do it.
What I did there, where you bet like a heavy favorite when they struggle early in the first quarter, that feels like an easy,
because usually that team, like if you know they're a far superior team, which Penn State is to Northwestern, is they're going to get it corrected, right?
Yeah.
Some maybe it's a schematic adjustment. Maybe you just got to get your head out of your ass. Yeah. But usually that team's going to figure it out.
So quarterback doesn't pitch it. The guy's still running. Oh, my God.
And it falls into the guy's hands behind him.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I guess that's why you follow the ball. You know,
good things happen when you're around the ball.
It's true.
Just how they drew it up.
Just how they drew it.
Every dad in their living room across America.
Every Cheeto finger across America. Drake was going back and forth with a couple Cheetos in the Discord, I think. We might have to pull up a very, very great quote.
I didn't
Drake.
See that. What
did I say?
Something like, how many times do I have to tell you Cheeto-fingered motherfuckers?
No, I called them mouth breathers.
Oh, mouth-breathing motherfuckers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's what you said. Maybe we'll read that here in a second. Other bets, Kev? What was your others?
Let's see. So I had the under in the Illinois-Purdue game. Illinois, so
that one did not hit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Purdue puts up 44. So, 54 was the over-under in that game. That goes over. And then I had the under at 40 in the Michigan-Nebraska game. Mm. I was expecting Nebraska to play a little bit better defense. Final score is 45-7. So
that brings me to another fun, you know, long shot parlay. Yeah, 1-2 for me as well. Grant, we'll get to you here in a second. I just want to give my bad beat of the weekend. Sort of, not really. I had an 8-team money line. I had an 8-team parlay. One of them was UCF money line. One of them was the Nebraska cover. So obviously Nebraska wasn't close on the 17.5 or whatever. But if they do that, I'm a UCF meltdown away.
I saw the end of that game.
From play
of the year.
From a ticket that was going to pay me $800 for a $5 bet. Just the Nebraska and UCF game away from that. Which I know there's plenty of stories like that. You know, you're not really that close if you're two games away. But that was an unbelievable meltdown by UCF. Just crazy.
Yeah, check out. Did you see this play towards the end of the game?
Where he runs all the way back to the goal line and then completes it?
Did you have the money line or did you have them spread?
I had just UCF money.
If you had UCF money line, you are still alive after this play. And they just had to make a 50-something yard field goal.
He's in the end zone. Throws it from the 2-yard line.
A 50-yard pass that is good for 12 yards for the first down.
See, this is why I love college football, though, is because like, you get just crazy stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like you get the chaos. In the
NFL.
But you get like three of these a weekend.
Shit. Yeah, there's some crazy shit that goes down in college. So that was mine. Grant, what was your three for the weekend? So Kevin and I both 1-2. What'd you do?
I went 2-1 again. We had North Carolina State plus 3.5 on Friday night. I know a lot of people are saying the Iowa game was painful to watch. This was, at least from my perspective, if you had North Carolina State plus 3.5, it was like nails on a chalkboard. Like both teams just really didn't want to win. Lots of bad penalties and such, but North Carolina State got it anyway with the loss. They lost by 3, so it was good to go anyway. And then Ole Miss got it done against LSU, despite the refs trying to rob them at the end. Some weird call on the bobble there with the LSU touchdown, but ball don't lie. Lane Kiffin got it done anyway. And then Duke, unfortunately, didn't get it done. They had them, I felt like, at the end. They ended up getting up 14-13 late in the game. And I was checking that a bunch during the Iowa game too. Like you had situations where like it'd be a quick timeout. But does anyone have a line? Does anyone have a score for Duke right now? Just no one cared and no one wanted to humor it. But they didn't get done. I still think Duke's a really good team though. But I think Notre Dame was just a little too much for them.
I agree. I think Duke's gonna have a good season.
Yeah, but and actually,
there's a few schools in the ACC that really aren't.
Oh yeah, Miami's still chugging along there. Yeah.
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
Jeff Brohm taking the lateral move and just elevating Louisville to undefeated
program. Like I said, I watched Louisville played NC State, and that was not pretty. That was there was nothing. There was not a lot there that was like, this is crazy impressive. Except they turned into the Chiefs every single third down. Like they were better on 3rd and 20 than they were on 2nd and 3 the entire night. It was outrageous. But no, I actually had I had one of my better weekends in all, just betting. I felt I did a good job. And then also got the, I was so happy the over hit in the Iowa game. I was just fired up about it. I was just really.
Were you?
I was. Yeah. I was fired up about it.
Because I had the under?
Oh no, I I've been rooting for those this year. I'm trying to defeat the narrative.
You're an over guy.
For Iowa, yes.
Okay. Drake, if there's a silver lining, you didn't have any picks this weekend, so you didn't lose.
You lose if you don't bet.
It's facts. Yeah, so good stuff. I still have an NFL parlay that's live right now as well. If the Chiefs cover.
I got the Chiefs money line to finish one out today, so I'm with you.
If the Chiefs covered it, I hit a +300 parlay, so we love that. Using one of Betfred, shout out to Betfred for the sponsorship. If you lose a certain amount of money in your first however many bets, they give you this free $111 worth of betting, and they split it between three $37 bets on my account at least. I don't know if that's how it works.
Yeah, apparently Betfred just doesn't want your money. There's you can bet it. If you win, they'll give it to you.
They'll give it right back.
They'll give it back to you. I mean,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. Bonus kings, baby. So I threw down a $37 bet on this +300. So I'm about to get paid out $120 or something like that. We love that. We love that on a little Sunday. It pays for the Sunday Culver's, which I hit triple butterburger.
What is the cost of the Sunday Culver's?
$26.04
between the two of you.
Yeah, so that's a triple butterburger meal with cheese curds and a bottle of water, a single cheeseburger, kids meal for Lauren. With fries and a bottle of water, and then 2-scoop hot fudge sundae, $26.04.
Wow. Has that been hit by inflation at all in the last year?
It certainly has. Yeah, it used to be down around 23. It's up around 26, so it is tough times, and everybody's feeling out there, but we still find a way in the budget to carve out some space for the Culver's. Their custard is unmatched, and I think Lister put – I don't know if it was Lister or somebody else was at Milwaukee Culver's today. I don't know if he was on his way home or need to find it here in the food channel of the Discord. Lister was at our at the Culver's in the IMAX theater in Waukee today. So shout out to Listy.
He gave me some. Some nice woodwork. I got to share with you guys today.
Yeah, Lister. You got his wood.
I took his wood.
That's awesome.
Yep, had it in my hands, felt it.
He has great wood.
Yeah, he has phenomenal wood.
He's really good with his wood.
He knows how to use his wood.
He works it.
Yeah.
For anybody in the Discord that's been paying attention, Lister does a lot of woodworking. He's been doing some washed up walk-ons custom pieces just for fun. He offered to do it. We're like, hell yeah, those things are cool. I think he's doing fucking what are they called? You put your cups on them?
Coasters.
God damn it. Coasters. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I got some coasters from him. Got a cutting board for you. He gave me a flight board.
Flight boards. Yeah,
it was really sick.
Yeah, it's actually unbelievable work. So if anybody in the Patreon is interested in that, those are custom pieces that you can, I think you can buy from him, order from him. He'll make you up some pieces. Real quickly, I've had some people ask about the hats. We did these exclusive kind of hats at the meetup at the brewery at Back Pocket, which by the way,
did you have a stroke today? What the fuck's going on?
I will say this. Yeah. I will say this. I had a headache that hit me about midday, and I had like, it was such a headache that I almost wanted to throw up, and I didn't know if I was going to be okay for this podcast. I was legitimately going to be like, boys, I'm down and out. I can't do this. I feel better, but there must have been an aneurysm or some sort of brain damage because I can't think right now. And maybe that's from last night's game. Maybe it's from today. I don't know. We had
before you keel over and die, make sure you write Grant into your will. Make sure Grant, you get the 30%.
Grant assumes all of my ownership in this podcast. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
These hats right here, the new Wash Up Walk-Ons design, we sold them at the Back Pocket Meetup. They have not been available to anybody online until this week. They should be up this week. I just put an inventory order in for them through one of our other great partners of the show. That's AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. Now, usually we pump their custom web stores, but today, more recently, we've been pumping the new Hawkadelic website.
Oh,
this is their website, of which is their premium Hawkeye brand. They do a lot of cool, sort of unique, old timey feel. So 80s, 90s designs. And it's really cool. If you go to the shop under brand, you can click and find your boys, the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Kind of disrespectful that we don't have Grant in that picture. But it has a little ditty about us that has all.
You know what? If Grant came to the meetup in Indy when he was there, he could have been in that picture.
That is true. That is true. Grant's fault.
Just Photoshop Grant's face on all of those babies, and then all the onesies just are Grant wearing onesies.
Oh, that's such a good fucking idea. I'm having them do that immediately. Grant, you're now going to be the baby in the onesies. that's amazing. No, but they've got really cool designs. It's premium. It's premium apparel. Kevin's talked about how soft their shirts are. They use the old designs with the hawk, stiff arming, and fist in the air. Look at this shirt they got right here. Iowa Hawkeyes winning in Ames. It's what we do. And it's just a hawk kicked back.
That's a great shirt.
Yeah, it's amazing. They've got all these. One of my favorite tees that they have on here is they're just "We Own Ames" tee. That's all it says. We
straight
own
to
Ames.
The point.
Yeah. And evidently this – oh, yeah. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I believe. So – they've got the little Beat Cancer promo going on, Fight Like a Hawkeye, pink merch.
It's a great soft pink there on the crew neck.
It's fabulous. And they do really good work here. So check out Hawkadelic.com, and it's a great spot to get some merchandise. So
more shirts coming soon.
Yeah, more shirts coming soon. One with possibly Grant, the Grant design on it, the G-Bone. So let's get to this game. Drake, you shared an opinion yesterday, something unrelated to performance-wise, that I very, very heavily agree with, and I got several other people in totally unrelated conversations just came up by chance agreed with. If we're going to do an alternate and we're going to go all black, then let's do specified all black unis. Don't just yes. Don't just wear the normal home black and then put black pants with it.
That yeah. shit looks terrible. With it doesn't look half height socks, dude. I was not joking when I said that looks like the Vatos in Muscatine, brother.
It does look like it looks like Marshall.
The higher the socks, the downer the foo.
Yeah, it looks like Marshall Down, dude.
I'm probably unpopular opinion. I hated the away look too. I hated the black pant with the white jersey.
It was even worse.
Yeah,
it was even worse with the white jerseys.
Boys, we need an all white. We need
all white would look clean, and then like white. The all blacks that we had for the Minnesota game.
Yes,
I clean.
Yes,
those two,
and obviously the 2017 blacks with the gray eye design.
Like Drake said, that was like a full different alternate uniform.
Make it if we're gonna all black, then do a specified custom design for the all black. Somebody in the complex, please listen. You have the money to do it. You spend $3 million a year on core powers. Okay. You can spend a couple dozen, $50,000. It doesn't even cost that much to order a team full of jerseys, custom blacks. It ain't that bad. Oh, we got it pulled up here. The Golden Goat on that bootleg late in the game. Look how, with the big gold numbers, man, and the all black pants.
Well, those yeah, and then so we took the stripe off the helmet and yep. had a bigger Hawkeye on the – yeah.
We haven't seen – what was the last time we saw an alternate? Was it the old, Penn like, State old 2018? Was that
well, it? I mean, they wore – I think they wore the all black, like the same thing they did yesterday for
last year.
Minnesota 21.
2 years ago, yeah.
Did they?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure they did.
With Padilla at quarterback?
Yeah, I feel like it. The last legitimate custom alternate that we wore was the Golds in 2019, right? Or 2018. Yeah.
Did you guys have one every year? You were in school?
No. We had one in 15. We had one in 17.
The All Blacks versus Minnesota. And then 17, we wore that alternate black and gray versus Ohio State.
Yeah. Still the most cuck move they've ever done is that Minnesota 15 jersey they just kept in storage for 8 years and then sold it at the Hawkeye Surplus website. Hey, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it was so simple, but I think that's what made it so slick. That's why I liked it.
Everybody loved those, too. I remember the reception of those when we wore them. Everyone was super stoked about it.
So here's what I'd like to see with our uniforms. I actually love how you either do it where you have Penn State, Alabama. It's like, hey, we have our home jerseys. We have our away jerseys. We never change them.
Yeah.
Or you have like Oregon, who's got a different jersey combination for every single game. Which I feel like maybe you do one alternate a year, right?
Yeah.
But it should be a true alternate jersey.
Yes. Don't try and
Don't half-ass it.
I actually have I agree with that. That's 100%, Kev. I think that if we could find a way to incorporate gray. And Oregon State has a cool gray. And I'm not saying I don't
like the all grays though, man. I think like Colorado's all gray uniforms this past week.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Illinois like had an all gray uniform that was like weird. Didn't make sense.
Yeah. I think gray and black though looks good together. And then a little
Ohio State 2017 ones I think looked good. Like it was mostly black with some gray hints in there.
You gotta incorporate gray, a little bit of that fringe gold. Make it mostly black, and God, it looks so clean. All whites is the clear move, but that might be too swaggy for KF. It might be too much. Who knows? Past that, there was a game. It was 26-16. It was 16-16 for a while.
Also 13-16.
And it was 13-16.
It was 10-16.
It was. Let me tell you. Any initial thoughts, any big picture thoughts here? There's clearly a couple big things that happened in this game. Mostly the injury to Cade. We'll get to that in a second. Anything? Kev, you woke up this morning. Did you have to watch it this morning?
The game? I was at the game.
Oh, you were at the game. You texted us this morning and said that was.
Oh, did not go through till this morning. I texted you all that last night.
Oh, okay. Didn't come for me till this morning.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was at the game.
Okay. Heard the environment was good.
Actually, no.
No?
What?
No.
Disagree.
55 out of the 60 minutes, it was not the Kinnick at night environment you're used to.
Okay, so just for the end when it got exciting.
Just for the end when it got, like, I think it was like, maybe Michigan State's second or third to last drive when we finally got like a false start. Timeout, mm-hmm. False start. Then the crowd started getting into it. Then the team started playing a little better. We tied it up. Then Cooper. Yeah. It was, Kinnick at night is special, but there was not the electricity that you normally feel for a Kinnick night game for the first 55 minutes of the game. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that had to do with the on field performance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as soon as Cade went down, there was definitely like a suck the air out of the room for sure. Like that definitely.
They're still cheering. They're still getting kind of loud on third down, but there was a noticeable uptick 5 minutes into the fourth quarter left. Like you can tell, like, okay, somebody turned on the extra amp in the room, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're running at 80% for 85% of the game.
Yeah.
And then someone finally is like, oh, we gotta crank this thing up a little bit.
Well, the person who cranked it up was Coop, by the way.
And it was Cooper DeJean, absolutely. But I was sitting there, I'm like, it's kind of hard to get excited right now. Like,
yeah.
there's
Well, do you like drop balls?
for 55 minutes, it was like these guys are not playing with a lot of excitement, and the crowd can feel that. And it's like kind of a energy that goes back and forth, right? Players can play off the crowd. Crowd needs something to get excited about, right? And there wasn't a whole lot of that for 55 minutes of the game.
My thoughts of the game on a Cliff Notes version were special teams has, at least last night, they stepped it up to their normal level.
Big, big, big night for special teams.
By week five, they've now, and it has seemed like an elevated climb to better and better special teams play, which is great to see. Drew Stevens put him to bed. Love the little shit talk. Put your head down on the pillow. Sick picture from Hawkeye football today. The defense is not the defense of the last couple of years.
High bar, but it's not.
It's an extremely high bar, but nonetheless, they are on the spectrum somewhere compared to those defenses, and that is below. It's a good defense. They're not great. And the offense is they're cheeks. The offense is cheeks.
I would say just marginally better, like barely measurably better than last year.
And for everybody,
which was not good.
I think it's even, there's going to be tons of people that sit there and go, oh, there he goes again. I don't think it was super easy to kind of judge the play calling of last night. I know the play calling, Brian, is the hot topic every time. I actually thought he called an okay game without even being super analytical about it or going back and watching all the plays that were called. I thought he called an okay to good game. Oh, we got to catch the fucking ball, right? We got to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And though we won the turnover battle last night, we can't turn it over with this offense. And we did that again. We turned it over twice. One of them was a direct touchdown.
Yep, that was the point where I turned and looked at my dad. It's like, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in a lot of trouble. It was real soul crushing.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts. We can get into some of those.
That was it.
Yeah, pretty much just cheeks.
3 minutes, all right.
My in-laws came this morning to see the kid, and my mother-in-law looked at me and she goes, "What'd you think of the Hawkeye game last night?" I just turned to her. I said, "They're ass. They're ass. They're not good. We're not good. We're not a good football team.
We are an average football team right
now. We're going to go." And by the way, I said last podcast that the floor is 9 wins. It's not. It's 7.
I'm looking at this schedule. We're 5 games through it, almost halfway. There's 7 games left, and there's not a game on this schedule that we can't lose.
100%. And there's also not a game we can't win.
Correct. 100% correct.
Which you know what, Kev, describes pretty much Iowa for the last 20 years, but very, very much so this season. But,
beginning of the year, 3 weeks ago, we're looking at that Northwestern game. It's like, fucking come in hungover, chalk it up. That's a win.
Yep.
That's not a win. That's not exactly a win anymore.
I think we were thinking Purdue was an absolute win too.
Yeah, three point spread.
I'm now not confident this weekend.
Oh, I wouldn't be. No. What gives you reason to be confident?
Nothing. Drake, you've been asking for open receivers for 14 years now. We had open receivers, but guess what? They forgot how to catch the ball.
What do we have, 5 or 6 drops?
6.
Somebody needs to smack Deonte Vines right in his fucking mouth, because after his 3rd or 4th drop of the night, he came up smiling with a fat smirk on his face. And I would, dude, I would have punched him in his fucking teeth.
I actually do remember seeing that. I got no
respect for you, Deonte Vines. I think you're a shit football player, and I think you're a pussy for having that smirk on your face after letting your team down.
Okay, so there's the extreme version. I'm going to try and bring it back a little bit. I think it was a smile out of frustration, like, motherfucker. Like, what am I doing? Probably. I'm guessing.
More than likely.
But yeah, man. You know, like, the broadcast is talking about how – and I get it. I also get it. the fucking skid loader comes in and starts ripping darts. Okay.
He's got some heat on the ball.
This man needs to take off. He's Randy Johnson in the pocket right now. We just same problem that Stanley had for a few games. Peters did it.
I would only place one of those drops on him throwing the ball too hard.
And that's what I was going to say. It does not matter how, if he throws it at 200 miles an hour, you're a Big Ten receiver.
If you're 5 yards away from the ball, you gotta, I don't care how hard he throws.
You got to catch the goddamn ball.
Well,
right.
Well, that was my like dumb opinion while I was sitting in the stands there. I was like, is Deacon potentially too strong? Like he's throwing the ball too hard. Is that like a real thing where it's like, oh,
yeah,
no,
yeah, I mean, if you're running a crossing route over the middle and it's under 5 yards, like if you are 10 yards away from the receiver,
tough to catch that.
You do not need to whip it in there, right? Because it makes it a very difficult ball for the receiver to catch. Now, if it's the 13 yard out route on the far side of the field, you should throw that ball pretty much as hard as you can and it should be caught.
What'd you guys think of Deacon though? Because I was kind of sitting there in the stands. I was kind of like, I'm kind of liking what Deacon's doing right now.
Well, honestly, I think he had an overall okay game. Okay to a solid game.
He was in a real tough situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like he had a decent feel for the offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is to be expected. He got all the first round reps the last 2 weeks of camp.
Yep.
I felt like he had a decent pocket presence.
Yep. Which, by the way, pass blocking still awesome.
I wouldn't say awesome, but it's good. It's a lot better than it was last year, right?
It's good enough.
It's good enough to get the job done. He had one bad pick where he throws it late. He's staring at the guy the whole time. If he's going to throw that ball, it's got to be on the break. He holds on to that one way too long. Safety comes in and makes a pretty easy pick off of it. Missed a couple throws, but overall, like he's a guy we can win with, right? Given what we saw from Cade the first four games, I don't think there was a huge noticeable drop off in this game at quarterback. I could be wrong, but
it's sad. It's sad because I wish there was, right? Because I wish Cade had been balling out and the stats were there.
Well, I think, you know, Cade has never been healthy. And if you want to look on the bright side of this, we ran some naked boots. That's probably in the bag again, right? It's like,
well, and this brings you just answered a question that I was going to get to. I got asked more than anything yesterday. Hey, is there some silver lining in this where now all of a sudden a healthy Deacon maybe allows us to do more or at least try more than an unhealthy Cade? I think the answer might be yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how fast Deacon's going to be out in the out of the pocket.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
this man is truly built like the bookcase that Kevin's sitting in front of.
He was faster than I thought he was going to be, though.
You're right.
Like when he was moving around.
For 250, I thought he moved.
260.
Pretty sad. And QB sneaks back in the playbook, too.
Why did we not QB sneak on the fourth and one, the third and one? No, the fourth and one when we kicked the field goal to tie it.
I kind of like the field. Maybe I'm a conservative dude.
I know that KF kicks it 100 times there. But.
So I'm in the far 35-yard line. Yeah. Was it a short one? Was it a long one? Or is it just like
– It was – we got the skid loader, Kevin.
And no, it makes a difference, right?
It does.
QB sneak under one, pretty good play. 1.2 to 1.5 yards. It's a big difference.
And we actually showed that on defense. We stuffed that little dude on one of their sneaks.
Yes, we did. Huge, just a terrible mistake by Michigan State to even attempt it. And huge capitalization for the Hawkeye defense there. What was I saying?
I don't know. Deacon's okay. He's good enough.
Was the QB sneak the right call?
I am probably going for it there. And I looked to my dad. It's like, if we miss this field goal, they're going to call for Kirk's head right now.
Yeah.
Because, okay. I'm thinking, like, we tie it up, right? What makes you think that the offense can provide you another score here? And defense has not been playing phenomenal, right? They've given up drives where Michigan State's moved the ball. Thank you to Michigan State for turning it over four times.
Yeah.
I would have gone for it, but hey, worked out, right?
You're right. Normal and KF goes for that 1,000 times out of, or he kicks it 1,000 times out of 100 because it's just who he is. He's like, hey, let's tie this fucker up, huh?
But I think it depends on the team. I think like when we were playing, he was a little bit more aggressive on fourth down.
I thought
because given compared to the last couple years, right? Because you think about Drake. 21 and 22. You have an awesome punter who is great at pinning people inside the 10. He had a top 10 defense that you felt pretty confident about getting you the ball back.
Yeah.
With good field position.
We had some hillbilly from Decorah.
Right. Exactly. So that's why we were a little bit more aggressive on fourth down. We had Nate Stanley Yelnats who was,
give me the t-shirt. Nate Stanley Yelnats,
who was great at quarterback sneaks. So we were more aggressive back then than I think we were for the last few years. But yeah, I think we're on the 15 yard line or something like that. 13. I mean,
man, if there was ever a time to get,
I think you got
to
press your luck there. Like I said, it works out, right?
Defense ends up getting Coop put his foot in the ground. He basically said, okay, I'll do it myself. He is him, by the way.
Well, I got to look back at what happened on that. Did we rush the punt there and like their Michigan State's just super slow to get out into coverage? Because there was no one around him when he caught the football.
Even when we go to
the nearest Michigan State cover was 20 yards away.
I would love to see the end zone film on that because they gave Coop an absolutely irresponsible amount of room.
It's a good way to put it.
And like, yeah, if you're going like max protect there, thinking that we're coming after the ball, you punt that ball out of bounds, and maybe
you get it to the fucking sideline. Yeah. Here's Coach Wallace. We're fucking max protect. You make sure that fucking ball gets off, Colton. Get it to the fucking sideline.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a mishit ball because the previous one was like a 15 yard punt.
Shanked it.
Hit too. But that Michigan State punter also had some phenomenal punts.
Up until that shank, ooh, he was MVP.
Yeah.
Eckley? This fucking guy? My goodness. Coop is him. He took it back to the house. He's just so smooth. He has what Desmond had, where
I was thinking about that this morning. It's like they are such similar players.
Uh-huh. It's like the other players on the field are running at 75% speed. Everything is happening at 0.75 speed, and they're on regular speed.
I mean, same thing. No, I wouldn't say exactly he's that much faster than him, or that he's just moving that much quicker. Same thing with Desmond. Like Desmond wasn't that fast, but they're just so smooth in everything that they do.
It's so smooth, man,
and that makes it look faster, right? It's like you put your foot in the ground, and it's just like an effortless change of direction.
Yeah, yeah. He had probably again, with how smooth he is, it's just the word smooth connects on everything he does. His pick looked like he ran the goddamn route for the receiver.
Well, it helps when you throw the ball 10 yards over the receiver's head.
That always helps, but nonetheless, he toe-tapped that thing.
No, yeah, that was a great, catch. I'm not taking anything away from the catch.
Without Coop DeJean, we fucking lose. We lose that game. Without Coop DeJean, we're 3-2, and I think we have a whole new staff because they fucking fire everybody.
I mean, I'm going to say Michigan State lost this game more so than we won. 100%.
Four turnovers and the punt return. They came into the highly touted blackout Kinnick at night environment and they were ready to steal one, and they pissed it down their leg.
Yeah. You know, they move the ball a few times, get a couple field goals early in the game. They're moving the ball again, and then like that, the interception that Coop had that drive, like we were not stopping them for shit that drive. And then they decide to take a shot at the end zone and sail one. So thank you there. They going for it on your own 20 yard line. That gives us 3 points. Thank you there. Michigan State had every opportunity to win this football game. But I guess you could say it the other way too. Like, hey, if we don't fumble into their arms and they run it back for a touchdown, then, you know, it's, I wouldn't say Iowa doesn't sweat this game, but it's a lot less of a sweat.
Yeah. Brady Ross has been trolling in the Discord recently.
It's his favorite thing to do.
Almost every time someone says something, he comes.
Oh, yeah. And Michigan State, 10 penalties for 94 yards, which extended some key drives for us.
Brady's favorite thing to say in the Discord right now is, good thing Petrus was the problem and we got hit and we got rid of him. Am I right? Drake kind of was in that conversation yesterday as well and said, quote, I genuinely, and this was just kind of to the general public of the Discord last night, because people were asking his opinions, I think. I genuinely don't know how many times I have to say that the quarterback doesn't matter if the O-line sucks and the skill players don't make plays. Yet you mouth-breathing motherfuckers ask the same fucking questions over and over again every week. How much more clearly do I gotta fucking say it? Would you like to expand on that, Drake?
I think I said my piece.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, another 61 yards running the ball, 2.3 per rush. It's
six drops
on offense, some of which would have extended drives.
Dude.
Which would have led to more points. I don't know,
some
man.
Some big missed throws, because we had number six ran a great out and up at one point and was wide open between the corner and the safety, just missed them.
Yep.
It's like open that were dropping it. There was dudes that were open that weren't getting the ball. This is a disaster.
And here's an interesting little tidbit. I'm not going to use this to back our point. It's just a parallel voice that has, you know, some credibility. Brian Bulaga chimed in on Twitter yesterday and said, man, we got to stop talking about the 25 points per game with Brian Ferentz. It's part of the contract for more money, not if he gets fired or not. The players dictate the performance on the field, not the coaches. Let's get that straight right now. Execution is key. And this speaks to this something that we've talked before on this show about is, and I appreciate it in a way, but a lot of the times the fans like to think that the players are doing what they're supposed to do and that the coaches are putting them in the wrong positions.
They're not. They're playing like shit.
And
which you can also put on the coaches to a degree, right? We are not developing talent to the level that we need to.
And that is where right now,
agreed,
I would put that is the biggest problem with our coaching staff. Whatever it is on the offensive side of the ball
is we're not putting players on the field who are executing,
whether it be recruiting or development or getting them to understand the playbook. We are failing at the coaching level of in that aspect. I know for a fact they're teaching them great fundamentals. I know for a fact that they're putting in a full effort, but they are failing in the sense of we are not getting our players, our skilled players and our offensive line to be a cohesive 11 players and figure out how to gain yards. We're fucking failing. Okay. But it really, really gets exacerbated when the players then go out and when the coaches do the job, they do it. They put them in the right spots. They get them open. Then we miss blocks or that we miss holes or that we drop balls. And that's happening at a,
you can only teach them how to catch a ball so much, right?
And that's happening at a frequency that is much higher than the average fan wants to critique the players for. And I love that, because as a former player, I love that the fans are like on the player side, like, oh, they're trying their hardest. They're doing their best.
Make your best better.
And the fact of the matter is that oftentimes, a lot of times, it is the player's fault. It is. And the three of us
could coaches are just at the steering wheel, right? The players are the engine. Players are the thing that makes the bus move.
And I mean, I don't have a lot more to say other than that. I mean, I'm like I said earlier, I think you can tell from the vibe, the tone of the conversation, none of us are real confident about it. I mean, here's what's going to happen, right? Iowa plays in close ball games. It's how they play. But if you want close ball games, congrats. Welcome to the rest of the 2023 schedule, because every game the Hawks play is going to look like last night, 2 nights ago, that when you're listening to this. Because Iowa doesn't have an offense to run away from any of these teams.
I mean, thank God the West is just hot garbage this year.
The worst division in football.
I mean, Michigan State was probably one of the worst teams left on the schedule.
Yep. And it took a night game in Kinnick and a Cooper DeJean miracle to win. I mean, are we fucked, dude?
We're not fucked. I mean, I'm going to bring this back to a KF quote is, hey, don't turn a loss into a win. If you like, you play really well against a really good team, you still lost the game. Don't turn a win into a loss, right? We got the job done. The number one goal is we scored more points than the other team last night. We won the game. We're 4-1.
Yeah.
We're 1-1 in league play. Mm-hmm. All of our goals are still ahead of us, but we need to improve. And that's the most alarming thing is I am not seeing week to week improvement, really.
That's real obvious. And it doesn't help that we now lose Cade. From what it looked like, I mean, he didn't even...
I don't want to speculate on what it is, but I don't think we're going to see Cade the rest of the year.
Which is just so shitty. I saw a couple tweets, and they're like tongue-in-cheek, and it's kind of almost disrespectful, like tweeted out there, but it's true. It's like, hey, we never knew you. Nice to meet you. You know, like something like that. It's like, fuck, man. We didn't even get to see
his another year if he wants it.
No, he does. But for now, Skid Loader's up, and now he's going to – I mean, what's big is the fact that he's going to get a whole week knowing he's a starter now, right? He's going to get a whole week of prep. I mean, we're going to get a little bit more rhythm with the receivers, hopefully. It's going to be – I mean, we're going to be in these ball games the rest of the year, and it's just going to be – it might be just a lot of tough watches.
Yeah. I think the guys came into the complex today and, you know, you feel all right because it's a win, but it's a win that no one really feels that great about.
Yeah.
Like you have some of those. I specifically remember we beat Minnesota in 2015. You know, we're talking about the jerseys, bring it back up. I think it was like 40-35 was the final score, something like that.
Yes.
You're looking at the poster right now, aren't you?
Yep, Iowa 40, Minnesota 35.
Yeah, there you go. We're all, like, everyone comes back in the locker room all excited, 10-0, and the defense is just like, we fucking sucked out there.
I remember feeling that same way against Maryland 2 games before, too, a little bit.
Yeah, like we won, but we didn't play great, and the next day is like, you just don't feel as good about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Again, like the KF quote is like, it's important to not turn a win into a loss, right?
Yeah. Got a couple topics to talk about on the preview show this week that I've been saving. One main one that we've brought up before, but I think it's been asked so many times in our DMs over the last 2 weeks that we have to bring it up again. We'll save that for then. Before we go. If there was a positive, the Premier Automotive collision of the game. Hit a deer, call Premier, or if you get hit by Jay Higgins. Higgins and I believe it was Schulte and Nick Jackson absolutely folded one of their receivers.
Yeah, he was not feeling too good after that hit.
He got absolutely... just crushed and pretty much sealed the deal with that fumble late in the game. And that was a stick. So that's our collision of the game. Premier Automotive, hit a deer, call Premier or call Jay Higgins.
Averaging 12 tackles a game.
It's a lot of tackles.
That's a lot.
A little bit inflated when you play 100 snaps in one game, but nonetheless.
Still a lot of tackles.
The man finds the ball. And he gives a hell of an effort. Coop's the MVP. Protect Coop at all costs. Coop for president 2024. And that's all I got. Anything else?
That punt return might be one of my favorite moments in Kinnick history, though. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's pretty cool.
It might be one. Like, I know the game was crap, but like, I'm gonna remember that forever. Like,
yeah. I mean, that
was awesome. That part.
Oh yeah, there's kids all over Iowa who are like, I want to be Cooper Jean and return for a touchdown in Kinnick at night because Coop just did that.
I think I'm gonna remember like that being awesome more than I'm gonna remember like, wow, that was like a really underwhelming game for 50 minutes.
Sure. Yes, there you go. Take that with you. Take that. Just let that be the highlight of your experience today.
There you go. Appreciate you guys. As some of you have voiced your appreciation for us showing up and doing the podcast, even more so, double, triple, 10 times, we appreciate you coming and listening to the podcast. We'll be back for the preview, the Purdue preview, which I guess this week got a whole lot more stressful because of the way we've been playing now. We'll be there on Thursday with that. If you're a part of the Patreon, DHT and Drake and Gary Friday, obviously, as always this week, we'll see you there. Go Hawks. Till next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.